Brains Music.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a very special Gift of Rap 2012 Strange Music Live podcast. This is part two in our series. If you joined us last week for part one, we spoke live with Strange Music's own Ritz and Sarah Biles of Harvesters to discuss the upcoming Gift of Rap 2012 benefit concert presented by Tech N9ne, Strange Music, and the Independence Event Center. The Gift of Rap will feature performances from Tech N9ne, E40, Chris Calico, Cut Calhoun, and Ritz. It all goes down December 7th at the Independence Event Center in Independence, Missouri. We encourage everyone to come out and bring donations to help those in need this holiday season. This is how Strange Music gives back. Please visit strangevip.com for tickets and VIP experience passes. Don't forget that 10 lucky VIP attendees will be chosen to have an exclusive VIP barbecue suite party with Tech N9ne, and it's catered by Kansas City's own Gates Barbecue, KC at its finest. Again, visit strangevip.com or therealtech9.com for more information. Also, those who would like to donate but can't attend, please visit blog.therealtech9.com for details on how to send in donations. We do have an address, and we will be taking all donations. Today we are joined by our very own Cut Calhoun to discuss his live solo performance at the Gift of Rap 2012. This is a very big performance that you will not want to miss. We're going to get all the details on that. We're also joined, by Lisa Heron from Love Fund for Children, and we're going to be talking about all the different kinds of things that Love Fund for Children does and what you can do to help. We always like to reach out to the average person and see how you can help during this time of need. So without further ado, I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. Do we still have you?
I hear you now.
Oh, okay. Great. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. We've been talking a lot about Love Fund for Children and, of course, Harvesters, which is the other organization that this concert will benefit. And we're trying to get everyone involved. And for anyone not familiar with what Love Fund for Children does, can you tell us a bit about the organization and its goals?
Absolutely. Yes. The Love Fund is focused on kids 18 and younger in the Kansas City metropolitan area. We serve actually 37 counties around Kansas and Missouri. And we help with anything and everything a child needs to learn and to live and to grow when the need can't be met by any other source. So we step in and help out with all sorts of life essentials and things like that. And that's a great way that we're helping the Second for Santa this year with teens.
Okay, now you mentioned all the different kinds of issues. How severe are the different kinds of issues that you help with in the Kansas City area as far as children who need help?
Oh, my goodness. It's the full spectrum of really just basically anything and everything that you can think would impact the life of a child. And we deal with all sorts of children, middle class, impoverished, needs, special challenges, handicap and diseases and things like that. We buy specialized medical equipment, beds, bedding, pillows for kids that are actually sleeping on the floor right here in our own community. Clothing, shoes, coats, we get dental care, eye care, vision tests and eyeglasses, hearing aids. It's the full gamut. In fact, one really interesting thing that we did recently was a young man who lived in a homeless shelter made the high school football team but couldn't afford the cleats that he needed and the pads and the pants that they had that each player had to provide. So the Love Fund stepped in and provided that for that young man before he could take the field with his high school football team. It was really quite an extraordinary experience.
Oh, wow. No, that sounds great. And some people might be mistaken to think that it's only hunger that you're solving, but you're reaching to all different types of facets in people's lives.
Everything. It's just really everything, and everything that impacts a child's life, from a crib for a baby that, a newborn baby that has nothing to come home to sleep in, coats for the winter, school uniforms. It's just one thing that we're helping with most recently are iPads for kids that have any kind of communicative disorder, such as autism or even cerebral palsy. They can't communicate, but yet their brains understand everything that you're saying. With this iPad and the communication apps that we are able to provide to them, we're able to unlock those children's minds, and they're able to communicate with their parents through this iPad. It's really quite something to behold.
That sounds incredible. You had mentioned a few of your events earlier. I looked at some of the events you have going on. What can you tell me about these events that Love Fund organizes, and how can people participate?
We have events going on all year round. It starts out with a chocolate breakfast in Kansas City on Valentine's Day, and that's open to the public. You just come and have breakfast at the Western Crown Center with us, and all the proceeds benefit the Love Fund. We have a poker tournament in February, and that's, again, just register and sign up. It's a fabulous silent auction and great prizes for the winners. We have a golf tournament in June, and, of course, we need golfers. Does Tech 9 play golf? That's a good question. Love to have him out there. And then we move in. We have Lunch with an Old Bag, which is a purse auction, and that's really for the ladies. We have all sorts of purses. They like 500, I think, in our last auction. Had 500 purses, and about 600 women vying for these purses in an auction. And, again, that raised money for the Love Fund. And then in the wintertime, we have Adopt a Family, and we also do Back It for Santa, which is a teen-centered Christmas program.
Okay, so definitely a little bit of everything for anyone looking for help then.
Right. It's a full gamut. We also have a Young Professionals supporting the Love Fund group, and they go out and do different happy hours or karaoke or something like that, and they're building a troop. So if anybody out there is interested in a young professional outreach to help build your philanthropic resume, because that's now a big component to the job search, they want to see what you're doing in the community, we'd love to have them join us.
Okay, great. You know, the Gift of Rap 2012, it's a big hip-hop concert. It's been put together to help Love Fund and Harvesters. What does it mean to you and Love Fund to see such support for a cause like this?
We are so touched and honored. This is just incredible because we get requests from about 1,500, that's 1,500 kids in our metropolitan area, teenagers, who without the Love Fund would not have anything for Christmas. And that number just astounds me. And it may go up this year. I don't know. We just get we get applications in from different case managers. They apply for their kids. And we fill these, like last year, 1,500 bags filled with toiletries, socks, candy, snacks, Nerf footballs, deodorant, and, you know, body wash, and all of these things. They pack in a nice gift sack, and they go out to the kids, and they really appreciate them.
Well, we definitely hope that number grows. You know, we always hear that those who are in need may not always cry out for help or let you know. It could be a neighbor, and you may not ever know. What kinds of things can an individual do if they think someone needs that type of service or services that you provide?
That's a great question, because we often get calls from friends, neighbors, family members, letting us know that there's a need in a child's life. However, we have to redirect them to we call them youth service professional, someone who interfaces with that youth, such as a teacher, a counselor, a case manager, a licensed caregiver, something like that. Somebody like that can call, ask us for an application, and on the application they can tell us more about what's going on in this child's life and why they need assistance. And that's how we allocate our assistance, is through a third-party professional like that.
Okay. As the executive director for Love Fund, what would you say is the best aspect of what you do?
Oh, my goodness. It's a miracle a day. Sometimes it's multiple miracles a day. The way that you're able to impact a child's life in a really meaningful one-on-one way, it's really a miracle, because you are shining light into their lives. You're letting them have hope. You're at Christmas time, you're giving them a Christmas gift when they would go without. And they're so grateful even for a package of socks. It's just incredible. Toothbrushes and things like that they're just so grateful for. It's the day-to-day miracles that we see in a kid's life. Whether you hand them a coat or whether you hand them a high-end wheelchair, you've really made a difference in a kid's life.
Oh, definitely. Such a great thing to hear. And, you know, for all of our listeners who are tuning in who would like to reach out and help, do you have any words for them? How can they help? How can they get involved? Where can they visit?
They can visit lovefundforchildren.org, and that's Love Fund, LoveFund. And then forchildren.org. And there are different ways you can connect with us and help, and we'd love to talk to you about that.
All right. Well, Lisa, I would like to thank you for your time. So great to have you, and so great to be involved with an organization like Love Fund for Children. Again, thank you so much.
Well, I have to say, we are so honored that we were selected to be one of the beneficiaries of this concert, and I've met Tech N9ne. I'm so impressed with what a kind and caring person that he is. We are so thankful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. To all of our listeners, that is Lisa Heron, Executive Director for Love Fund for Children. Please make sure that you visit lovefundforchildren.org for more info. They are one of the beneficiaries of the Gift of Wrap 2012. For all the info on that, please visit strangevip.com. And now we are live here at Strange Music HQ with Cut Calhoun, and I'm actually going to hand off the interview reins to my coworker Brent Bradley as we talk to the Kansas City Chief.
What's up, guys? We're live with Cut Calhoun here today. Cut, how's it going, man? How's life?
It's going great, man. I appreciate the opportunity, man. And I'm just ready to get this whole thing going, man, ready to take some calls from the fans or whatever. I know it's a lot of questions people might want to ask. And it's a lot of things that I might need to say to the people, too, man, especially about this up-and-coming show on December the 7th for this Gift of Wrap. So I'm in the building. Cut Calhoun, baby.
KC Chief is in the house.
Yes, sir.
Are you psyched for the show? I know I am.
I'm real excited for the show, but the most thing I'm more excited about, I've been doing my shows while the guys been overseas and out of town. I've been steady doing my shows like every weekend, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays or whatever. So I'm definitely hyped for this because the last time the people seen me was at the show downtown. I forgot the name of it, but we did it downtown, and I came out on the stage and we did some 816 Boys stuff, man. And so the crowd was real hyped to see me. Everybody's chanting my name for a real long time, and that felt real good. So I'm more excited at the hype that it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, for people being able to see me back with my boys once again, you know what I'm saying, at this show.
Absolutely. And I know you've been out on your grind doing your shows, but this is really the first really big Strange Music show you've had since the release of Kelvin. Can we expect a lot of new material during your set?
Oh, definitely. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing these shows, man, all this time, and any time that I've done my solo shows on all these tours that we've had, I've done a lot of these songs, man, throughout the years. And what I want to do now for this show, December the 7th, I want to just let everybody know, expect to hear some brand new shit. And when I say brand new shit, I mean that shit from the upcoming LP that's coming out next year, and then also songs off of Kelvin. That's what I want my show to consist of, and put people on the brand new Cut Calhoun. For those who ain't heard it, I want to get them familiar with it, and for those who have heard it and love it, you know, waiting to see me perform it, man, that's what I want to do.
Word. I also know E-40 is going to be there. Is there any chance of us hearing a live performance of You Don't Want to Funk?
Man, that would be totally up to my boy Wada, man. But, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I do that with 40 Hell of Brother Lynch's there. I do Dark Knight. So that would be clearly up to 40. But we'll see how it goes, man. And, you know, I guess you can expect to just get a dose of some greatness right here, man. I've been waiting for a long time to do another Kansas City show. I missed the one March 24th. And so it's the hometown, man, and the love is here, and I'm just ready to give the fans what they want to see.
Nice. Now, this Gift of Wrap thing, this is a great example of hip-hop affecting real-world issues in a positive way. Yeah. Is that something you'd like to see more in hip-hop?
I would love to see more of that, real-world issues in a more positive way, because, you know, a lot of people, or should I say older people, maybe parents or whatever, or maybe the older generation, tend to think that, you know, rap music and what they see on TV and what they hear on the radio and hearing their kids' stereos is negative, when really it's a way to vent and get your feelings across musically instead of through violence, you know what I'm saying? So I'm way overdue with anxiousness to go ahead and get this going, man, because it's not only good for the fans, it's showing this new generation and the older people that, you know what I'm saying, we can come through for a positive reason, and you know, giving back to the community, all the proceeds that go to charity and stuff, man, just let them know that, you know, not only are we expressing ourselves through music, that is positive. You know, people tend to think that, you know, if you got something negative to rap about, you're just really trying to express yourself and get this stuff off of your shoulders, man. And so they don't understand that's positive in itself, with just expressing that through music, so that you're not out here in the streets or that you're not doing something bad. So I'm anxious for the show, and I'm anxious to get the response from and the feedback from, you know what I'm saying, the older generation, or maybe, you know what I'm saying, the people who don't know what's really going on, man. This music is powerful. Music kind of rules the world, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm just anxious to see the outcome of that, man.
That's really dope. That actually brings me to my next question. On a deeper level, do you think that hip-hop has the ability to change the world for the better, or do you think that it can help usher in a new way of thinking?
Change the world for the better or usher in a new way of thinking? I think that it's already ushered in a new way of thinking, but not mainly for, should I say, my generation or the generation above me, but for the younger generation, it's definitely ushered in a new way of thinking. But what we don't need to happen is that new way of thinking to be clouded with just that way. I mean, we also need to let them realize and let them understand and know that, you know what I'm saying, where the hip-hop era that I come from and the hip-hop era before me is still the basis and the blueprint of what hip-hop is for real in its state. You know what I'm saying? So I don't knock change at all. Change is great, but we still need to have the essence there. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, I mean, it's a yes on both of those questions.
Right on. It's all about balance, right?
Yeah.
All right. Is that something that you keep in mind when you're making music? Like, when you go to do a track or an album, do you have a specific message or something you want to get across already in mind, or does it kind of come out organically as you go along?
It kind of comes out organically as I go on, because I don't know what I'm going to write until I hear the beat. I don't know what the album's going to be called until, you know, I'm quite a few songs in. You know, in this particular case, I haven't had an album out that I already had the title to before the music since I started. You know what I'm saying? It's always been the music first, and then I come up with the title for it or whatever. But the message that I be trying to deliver, man, is exactly what the beat tells me to write. So if there's people out there that can relate to what I'm saying, or have went through what I've gone through, or and just relate to what I'm talking about in general, man, I mean, that's more than a reward that I can ever ask for. You know what I'm saying? Of course, album sales and it getting out to a mass audience is greatly appreciated. But if I can just reach one person out of everybody, you know what I'm saying, then my job has been done. And I'm going to continue to do so. I mean, because that's what it's all about.
Well, I think you've definitely done that, and I know you'll continue to do so.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, is this the first time you've been involved in a charity event like this?
I wouldn't say this is my first time, but I think a charity event that I've been in before was many, 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 many years ago, and it wasn't as widely known or publicized as this one here. So this would be the first big publicized charity event that I've been involved in, man, and I'm more than happy to be a part of it. You know, it could have been other people in my position, man, or it could have been people that's willing to give their left leg to be in the position that I'm in. So for me to be in it, man, and this is the first big publicized one, yeah, it's a great feeling, and I'm happy to get out there and do what I got to do and have the people, you know what I'm saying, have a nice time, have fun, and kick it. All at the same time, no violence, no malicious behavior, man. Just everybody have a good time and party and go home and have a great time afterwards.
That's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
Now, you have a track on Kelvin named Triumph that actually that details a lot of your trials and tribulations, all the shit you went through in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you knew people growing up in Kansas City who dealt with some of the issues that are being addressed by Gift of Rap. So yeah. Does this benefit hit home for you a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely does, man, because I mean, up to not too long ago, that same inner city kid that, you know what I'm saying, that I rapped about in the song Triumph, man, I've been there, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people, you know saying, tend to know how to be creative and just write about it. You know, people can write about what they see, and I don't knock that, because there's been stuff that I write about what I see and haven't necessarily been through it, but every word and every lyric that you hear on Triumph, man, I lived it. And there's many more kids and many more people in the city that's understands exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, you know what I'm saying? That song Triumph, man, it's a real touchy song, and it's 100% Cut Calhoun. It's, if anybody wants to get familiar with me, then just YouTube Kelvin, or if you haven't bought Kelvin, you know what I'm saying, pre-order that from Strange, or should I just say order it online from Strange. You know what I'm saying? I might got a couple of copies left at Seventh Heaven up on Truth, but definitely Triumph is one of those songs, man, that I feel like not only Kansas City, man, but like inner cities and hoods all across the United States and even overseas, man, people can relate to it. You know what I'm saying? The struggles and the trials and tribulations that we have to go through from poverty or from parents being on drugs or feeling neglected or moving here and there and changing schools or may have been shot and been in some bad things in their life. Definitely Triumph is that one song, man, that can speak for a lot of people out there, man. So I hope that song reaches out to a whole lot more people that it's gotten to. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the people that it's gotten out to, but that song needs to be heard all over the globe, you know?
Absolutely. That should just be required listening for everybody.
Yeah, man.
Dude, that brings me to my next question. Do you find a responsibility to be kind of the voice for those people and the people that are in the same situations that you've been in?
I don't find it a responsibility, but I accept it once it's been given, because, like I said, I'm not writing this purposely to try to reach some people. I'm writing because this is my real life, and these are things that I've held inside and haven't released, you know what I'm saying, musically to the world. And so I don't feel like it's my duty to do so, but once I do it, and that's what it is, like, hey, man, this song is what everybody's going through, and everybody can relate to this, man, all across the world, then I will accept that and take it for what it is, because, like I said, I've been that kid, man, and I've lived that life. So if this song or my music in general is the voice for people that don't have that voice to reach out to people, then I'll accept those duties, man, and keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, you're doing a great job with us so far, man. How do you think Strange Music has acquired such a generous fan base that's willing to get down with causes like this and reach out and help out?
I just think over the years, you know, Strange Music has started from the Travis's basement and has grown to become the number one independent record label in the United States, man. That's a major deal. You know, I was there when there was no Strange Music to when it started out in the basement to we got to a small building in Blue Springs and now to where we have the Strange Music headquarters and Strange Music warehouse out here in Lee Summit, man. It's like, that's a great accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like, you know, it is like it's more or less like a, you know what? I didn't got so deep into what I'm talking about. What was the original question, man? Sorry, y'all. My brain's going 1,000 miles an hour, and I just want to answer stuff so vividly because I got so much shit on my mind. The original question was, do I feel like Strange Music what?
Oh, I was asking, how do you think we've acquired such a generous fan base?
We've acquired such a generous fan base. Like I said, we started from nothing, and we grew to what we are now. And we've represented Kansas City along the way so much. I know Tech has represented Kansas City to the fullest, even before Strange Music, and since I've been rapping since I've been a part of Strange Music. I've been repping Kansas City to the fullest. Everywhere I go, when I'm not here, if I'm at the tip of Maine or if I'm at the tip of Washington in the Northwest or at straight down south at the bottom of Texas, man, I'm repping Kansas City everywhere I go. It's all in my music. And I feel like, you know, we've repped Kansas City so much, man, to where I feel like, you know, we play a big part in this, man. And,
So if you had the resources and the money, everything to end one problem for everyone on the planet, what would it be? Like, what's a basic thing that you think needs to be taken care of as far as everyday life goes?
I think the basic thing that needs to be taken care of is a status of money. You know what I'm saying? Because money classifies everybody. You either don't have it, or you have it and it's low income, it's poverty, or you're doing okay, or it's middle class, it's upper middle class, then it's, you know what I'm saying? I think that money, man, should not be an issue. You know, we're paying for things that I don't know how they put a price on stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like a car that's made out of fiberglass and then you got the engine and this and that. They say, oh, this is going to be $30,000. How do you put a price on such things, man? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like money's a main problem, man. If I could take away anything, it would be money. If everybody could just have what they needed, then the world would be fine. So when it's all about money and some people got things that other people don't have, you know, a lot of people take that as, you know what I'm saying, being teased or stuff being thrown up in your face, and they feel like, you know what I'm saying, you're not better than me, so what makes, you know what I'm saying, why shouldn't I have what you should be able to have? You know what I'm saying? Money causes so much problems, man, and the world runs off of money. That's why they say it's the root of all evil, man. The government makes money. You know what I'm saying? Money is made out of synthetic cottons and from trees and stuff and different fibers or whatever. And money's basically just artwork. You know what I'm saying? But it runs the world, man. So if that was one of my things, man, it would be money. I would just take away money and be like, if you wanted to have a car, you should be able to go to General Motors or Ford or whatever and learn how to assemble a car and work for that car, and that'd be yours. If you wanted a nice house, depending on how much work and grind that you put into that house, that's what that house could be for you. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that, man. You know, I feel like, you know, back in the days, it was barter and trade. If you wanted something that somebody else had and you had something that you can trade of equal value, then boom, then you had it too. It wasn't all about, you know, this motherfucker got money, so he thinks he's better than me. Or I do have money and you don't, so I am better than you. Money is the root of all evil, man. So if I can take away one thing, man, it'd be problems that has to do with money.
That's a really dope concept. All right, so right now, if you're cool with it, I think we're going to take some callers. Get to the callers.
Call them up.
Right on. Right now, we've got Brennan from Phoenix.
Brennan,
what's up,
Cody?
How are you?
I'm all right. You know I'm about to be in Phoenix on the 30th, right?
Of course.
Yes,
Marked
sir.
On the calendar the second I got it. So.
That means you'll be at the show, right?
Oh, yeah, I got my ticket.
That's what's up, Brennan. What's your question, man?
Well, I was going to ask more on the upcoming album, but first I really want to acknowledge the, you know, same from what you were talking about, because I, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get people kind of re-educated on hip-hop, and it has been kind of a struggle because there's so many closed-minded people because of what the mainstream has been playing constantly. You know, I mean, just people
right.
always talk about their money all the time. And,
right.
You know, they play the same thing all the time. And I just think that's just smug, you know, because,
right.
I mean, just me, I work, my first job here that I've gotten almost a year and a half, I'm working on call. I get whatever hours they give me. And
right.
it doesn't make me... I don't feel like I'm above anybody. I'm just like, you know, I'm still struggling too, even with a job.
Right,
so
right.
So it's just, so I definitely feel for that.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, I'm real excited for the Phoenix show on the 30th. You know, I can't, you know, express enough excitement about it. But, anyway, down to the question. Can you talk more about the upcoming album at all? Like, what can I, as a longtime fan, expect?
Right. The LP is going to be better than Kelvin. And from what I've been hearing from the majority of the fans is that Kelvin is some of my best work, right? So I figure, like, when I'm doing my work and I'm creating EPs, album, or any type of music, I want it to be better with each time I put out a certain project. And I've been getting reviews saying Kelvin is some of my best work. So if people saying Kelvin is some of my best work, I want to reassure that the EP, the album that's going to be coming out next year, is better than Kelvin. You know what I'm saying? And I do want to say that, and I'll put my foot down on that one and stamp it with my own approval. You know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you that I won't be putting my foot in my mouth, man. I mean, my craft is getting better and better, man. You know, I'm not sitting there rapping about money and this and that. I made Strange Money strictly as an answer to people that, you know what I'm saying, had rumors about me and this and that. And I'm like, hold on, don't get it twisted. And I know I've rapped about not getting enough money or not getting paid enough and this and this and that, but don't get it twisted. I make money. You know what I'm saying? So I made Strange Money specifically for that, man. You know what I'm saying? But this is the question. I mean, this is the answer I want to say, man. The LP, man, I guess I can find... Nah, I don't want to say it just yet, but a couple of people have already been knowing what it is. I've been telling people that I've been saying the title of my LP all along in Kelvin. So if people have put two or two together, I've seen a couple of things on Twitter. The name of the upcoming album is Black Gold. And I strictly named it Black Gold because Black Gold, if you remember Beverly Hillbillies, is oil. Now, I don't compare myself to oil. It's a metaphor meaning that, okay, oil is one of the world's most wanted resources, the most needed resources, and it's a hot commodity, one of the hottest commodities, if not the hottest. I believe it is the most hotted and wanted natural resource that the world has. You know, that's where the gas and all that stuff comes from, man. And so it was a metaphor saying that Black Gold, my album, you know, Blevy, I was trying to say my shit was the hottest shit out. Boiling Liquid, Expanded Vicious Explosion. Then Feature Presentation, I'm the next thing that you need to be watching. I'm the new thing that's coming out. And then Raw and Uncut, like I'm giving it to you straight, Raw and Uncut, here I am. And so now we have Kelvin that just came out saying I'm the coldest thing out. Meaning the same thing as Blevy, being the hottest and the coldest. Okay, so now we got Black Gold, man, which I'm trying to say is my music, or Cut Calhoun, period, is the hottest shit out. And, you know what I'm saying, some of the most valuable shit to get put out, man. And I wanted to say this also to all the people who thinking that, you know what I'm saying, because myself or anybody else wants to get on BET or whatever, a Sucker Free Countdown, and get on TV. Look at it like this. What you just said, Brennan, people need to open their eyes, because if this shit in the mainstream is making people be like, you know, it's stupid, they rap about the same thing, all they talk about is money, then look at it like this. If myself and whoever else on Strange Music has more to talk about than that, more life topics, struggling, you know what I'm saying, dysfunctional shit, getting picked on, being a rebel, and, you know what I'm saying, and just more real life topics, you guys should want people like myself and Tech and whoever else on Strange Music to be on the mainstream. That way, all that saturated shit that you hear would turn into this real shit that you love in the underground. It's not about getting on TV and starting to rap about stupid shit like you're hearing now. It's about this underground shit getting put to a mainstream level, and to let the mass of world people know that there's more to talk about than just rims and money and champagne. You know what I'm saying? So look at it that way. Everybody who thinks that mainstream is just full of this bullshit, will let Strange Music artists, let Cut Calhoun, let Tech get on television to set the record straight and show these motherfuckers how to really do good music. Look at it like that.
That's exactly what I'm trying to show. And, you know, it's just, it is a struggle because people only aren't all that open-minded to it. And, you know, that's okay because, you know, you can't control other people. But, you know, I'm just, I don't know, that's just me. I try and show people how Strange Music is. People are like, what's Strange Music? And I'm like, oh, boy, can I tell you. Because it's just... part of it is me being the longtime underdog in life, and I'm just like, you know, this is the independent, yeah, but, you know, it's where it's, the lyrics mean something, because, you know, it's just same old in the mainstream, but, you know, there's meaning all the time in Strange Music, and I'm just, you know, like, you can check out, you know, Cuddy Cal, among many others. You know, you can check out Seth's Crew, you can check out Chris Calico, Tech Nine, you know, the list can go on. And, wow, okay, then, you know, then I end up showing lots of music, and they're like, oh my God, how did I let this pass me by? I'm like, well, iTunes is a beautiful thing. It's, they never run out of copies. You know, download it on there.
I hate to cut you off, man. We got to get to a couple more callers. We're running short on time here.
I appreciate you, Brennan, man. Much love. And, hey, come up to me at the Phoenix Show, man. I'll give you an autograph, slap fives with you. We'll hang for a second.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, bro.
All right. Now we've got Kirsten from Portland. What's up, Kirsten?
Hi. Hey, Kyle.
Hey.
I just wanted to ask if you were planning on coming to Portland anytime soon. We sure have missed you the last couple shows. Tech's been in town.
Right. I'll tell you this. I won't be coming to Portland, but I'll be like 45 minutes away in Longview. You guys got a city called Longview, Oregon?
There's Longview, Washington.
Yeah, Longview, Washington. I'm sorry. I will be there December 28th. I will be there. And so look up the show there. It's December the 28th. I'll be in Longview, Washington on December the 28th. So everybody that you know from Portland or whatever who can drive that little 45 minutes, man, they want to see a good show, they want to catch your boy Cuddy, tell them to come to that because I'll be there December the 28th, y'all.
Awesome. For sure. That sounds great. Yeah, we've definitely been missing you. Looking forward to catching some of your new stuff live. I also wanted to ask you, what was the most meaningful song to you on Kelvin and the most fun for you?
The most meaningful song was Triumph, of course, because I was 150% open and honest with my life. And those three verses that I wrote in a nutshell is my whole life from when I was a kid all the way up to the present. So that's the most meaningful one. And the most fun was to do There You Go. There You Go was so fucking fun because I was basically shit-talking, and I was kind of, you know what I'm saying, mimicking the industry with this easy type of rap flow that they have, but actually having something to say in the same sense, you know what I'm saying? So it was fun. I was basically shit-talking and being boastful on top of really wanting to make a point with, you know what I'm saying? You can rap like this, but you can actually have something to say as well, you know what I'm saying? So There You Go
right.
was the most fun, and Triumph was the most meaningful, but I loved recording all of those songs.
Nice. Yeah, I enjoy the whole album, and it's just nice to hear from you, you know, when I listen to it and what I like, and from my opinion, to see, you know, what your favorite is, that's even more meaningful, you know, to be listening to the album and get that from you.
Right. I appreciate you, honey, and definitely, if you can, make your way up to the show in Longview, Washington on the 28th of December.
Definitely. I got a lot of friends, so I'll spread the word around town, and I guarantee you'll sell that show out, so...
Okay, baby. Thank you so much, honey.
Thanks for calling, Kirsten.
Yep.
All right, now we're going to get to EJ Robinson from New York. What's up, EJ?
Hello. Yeah, what up?
What's your bang?
Hey, what up, man? I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio with you the 25th, co-opening with you.
Okay, that's what's up. On the 25th, we're going to be in Columbus. That's going to be at the what's the name of it?
Alro Sevilla?
Yeah, Alro Sevilla, man, yeah.
Yes, man, I had a show with you in Cleveland, but it got canceled. Dude,
yeah,
threw me out of my money.
Yeah, I know. I heard the bullshit. I'm like, damn, man. I'm like, well, y'all better let them know that ain't my fault. I didn't cancel it. I had some the promoters and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, I already heard. So what I wanted to say was being an independent artist, you know what I mean? I got, like, 300,000 views on YouTube. I got like a couple thousand fans on Facebook and stuff. You know, I got people hitting me up all the time. I'm always trying to make new music, but I'm trying to figure out like how do I get out there? You know what I mean? Like I try to hit up like people with media, trying to get out there, get my name spread. But it's
yeah.
like no matter what, I get nothing. But then I get all these fans telling me, oh my God, your music is awesome. You changed my life. You made me want to do better. I love it. Or yo, you're so sick, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, you love it so much, right? Spread that shit so I can get my name out there.
Right, that's how I was feeling with calling my name, man. But I come to figure out this, man. People go love you, and with this new day and age, they go love you, and they go think you tight, man. But if people can get a chance to download your shit versus buying your shit, they probably will, and that's sad to say. And I hope that changes, you know what I'm saying, because I've been trying to make a point with my lyrics and shit. But you just keep doing what you're doing because Strange Music didn't come to where it's gotten at now overnight. You know what I'm saying? And so
right. 2000
to where shit started going real good for us like in 2007, and that's 7 years later, and it's still building right now, so it's not going to happen overnight. If you're doing these shows and you gaining all these fans on Facebook and you got all these YouTube views, just know you're doing what you're supposed to do and people are noticing it. 300,000 motherfucking views, that means 300,000 people didn't see your shit, so 300,000 people know about you, whether they think you're dope or whether they think you're okay or whether they think you whack. That's 300,000 people that your music has passed through the ears of them. So you keep
right.
doing what you're doing and you keep doing these shows, man. It's not going to happen overnight unless you get signed by a major record deal, you know what I'm saying, a major record label. So keep doing what you're doing, dog, man. And I'll see you when we get there in Columbus, man. And, maybe we can rap a taste and I can elaborate a little bit more. But I appreciate you calling in and make sure you come up and holler at me, man, when we get to Columbus.
Oh, yes, sir. You already know, man. Have a good night.
All right, bro. You too.
Peace.
All right, now we're going to get to Parrish from Missouri.
Hey, what's up, Cut?
What's up, Parrish?
Hey, first off, I'd like to say I appreciate what you're doing for the show and everything.
Hi, Cut.
And I got two questions.
Okay.
One being, how does one get started, and no, how you got started becoming, you know, the Cut Calhoun we see today, opposed to the man you used to be, you know, at home with his mom and things like that. What inspired you to become the Cut you are today?
What inspired me to become the Cut that I am is the appreciation from the fans, the love for this music, the friendly competition amongst the other artists that I've been working with since I've been here, watching my children grow up in front of my face, missing birthday after birthday and holiday after holiday, man, and knowing the you know what I'm saying, knowing the sacrifice and the hurt that it causes with doing this music, man. All of that, the good and the bad, has made me who I am today, man. It's all been an inspiration. It's all been heartfelt. It's all been worrisome. You know what I'm saying? All those combined, man, made me who I am today, man, to where it's like, you know, I write my music because this is from the heart and this is what I love to do. But I also make music, you know what I'm saying, because the fans are allowing me to. You know, if I wasn't getting no love from nobody, man, I might lose the will to make music. Music's in my heart,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate the fans, man, and then my children. I got to support them, and then my children and my family and my mom and dad, they set me up on a pedestal so high, man. Like, if you leave it to them, I'm on Jay-Z level, you know what I'm saying? So that right there alone, man, it's inspiration to keep doing what I'm doing because I know where I want to be at in life, man. So all of my trials and tribulations, hardships, ups and downs have made me who I am today.
Well, because I had the opportunity to open for you when you played at FUBAR, but we got the notice later, so we didn't have enough money to play for you. So that was like one of my biggest dreams, was finally for opening for someone from Strange Music and everything.
Right. Well, I appreciate it, brother, but to answer your question, that's what it is, man. That makes me who I am today, man. And I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to keep evolving. Life is about change, and life is about evolving, man. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to necessarily change who you are, but the things that you go through makes the person that you are in the present.
Right.
All right.
I hate to off,
man. We got a real special caller coming in. Hopefully we can get back to you in the second portion, so hang tight.
No problem.
All right, Paris.
All right, right now we've got Richter from Cottonmouth Kings on the
line. Hey, Kenny!
My motherfucker! Hey.
What's going down?
Shout out to the dispensary for hooking you up, man, and giving you some wax to...
You know, huh? I went to the show last night, hooked up Twister with a cloud pen, seeing heck he gave them. I started actually blowing and making pipes on my own now. I'm a pipe maker. So I was slanging pipes at the show and cooking everybody up.
Now, you know I don't smoke, dog, but I might have to hit that pipe with you, dog.
I'll have a whole mess of them by then. But I was going through Twitter. I seen you wanted to call and talk to Cuddy. I was like, oh, boy.
My dude, how you been, man?
I'm good, man. Chilling. So you're getting ready for the holidays tomorrow, you know?
Cool, man. When you going to invite me back out to your house, man, so we can put some shit on the grill?
You got to come on down, man. The Potluck Boys made it through for their first time on a Monday. They came through. We had a little barbecue and whatnot. They were tripping. They're like, dang, with the dispensary. Like, you seen it. Got some wax and some herb from AHC over at my buddy's shop. And put them all out there tripping. It was good times, though, man. Had everybody out. Doing some things coming up. I'm planning. So I got a solo show in Tempe on the 7th of December, and the Cottonmouth's doing shows coming up and whatnot. So just trying to stay busy out here, man.
That's what's up, man. Hey, I want you to tell all the fellas I said what's up, man. I'm going to come out there and I'm going to fuck with you. We go eat some barbecue. We go talk some shit, get drunk, captain up, and get fucked up.
Yeah, come out. Let me know. Call it. Let me know. Come on out. You know, the door's always open.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, I love you, bro.
I love you, boss. I'll just call them, but I'll let you go and get to some fans and whatnot. But hit me up, man. We got to do some things.
Okay, Rick.
All right, boss. You guys have a good one.
All right, mate. You too. All
right. Slay.
All right, Richter. Everyone. That was Richter from Cottonmouth Kings. So right now we're going to get back to a couple more questions. If you just joined us, we're here with Cut Calhoun talking about the Gift of Rap show. So let's see what I got for you here, man. Jump from Stevie Stone's Momentum, which your feature's on. That's one of my favorite tracks of the year. I want to know, have you two given any thought to doing an entire collab project?
We briefly talked about it, man. With when Keep Your Name Out Your Mouth, when we did that one, that was like the talk of that. And then And of course, Momentum's a great video and song, but it was like it was almost a neck and neck race between Momentum and Jump. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people's feeling Jump and loving Jump, man. It's like the chemistry me and Stevie got, man. That's my little bro, and he hypes me up too. You know what I'm saying? And so the chemistry that we have is great. And I spoke with him, and we was talking about the same things I just said. I was like, man, we gonna need to do an EP, a mixtape, or something together. And let alone that, we're gonna need to probably do a tour together. You know what I'm saying? Stevie Stone and Cut Calhoun tour, man. Hey. That'd be great, you know what I'm saying? So that Jump song, man, Stevie got me hyped, man. And I just, you know, like I said, I keep evolving, man, and I keep feeling like my craft is getting better. He inspired me along with me, you know what I'm saying, wanting to be a better artist all in general, man. Yeah, Stevie, if you're listening or if anybody can tell him, man, we definitely need to do a project together and get a tour going together, man. That's my little bro, and I've watched him grow from a good artist to a great artist, you know, and I ain't got nothing but love for him, man, but we definitely need to do something together because every time we do a collab, man, we fucking murder it.
Nice. You guys heard it here. Keep your eyes out for details on that. What do you think it is about about you and Stevie that just seems to make it click the way it does?
Well, first off, it's like I think it clicks real good because our chemistry outside of music is great. You know what I'm saying? As like I said, he looks at me as a big bro. I look at him as my little bro. And we got respect for each other. That's important. And, you know, we just bond together real good, man, to where it's like we got a natural chemistry. So that's already great. And then along with the music, he's a talented guy. He can sing. He can do harmony. He can rap. You know what I'm saying? And, I do the same thing, man, and we just vibe off of each other, man. And I think all of those play an important part in, you know what I'm saying, why we do good when we do music together. You know what I'm saying? Stevie looks up to me, and I look up to Stevie, man. You know what I'm saying? It's things about him. I'm like, ah, shit, man, I wish I would have thought of that, or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So that all together makes for a great chemistry, a great album, a great project, and a great tour and a great friendship, man. That's my dude.
Absolutely. I know everybody's going to be thirsty for some more work between you two.
Yeah.
You're also on Chris Calico's latest EP, Nevermind, which comes out in just a few days. I believe it's a 816 Boys track. Things have been pretty hush-hush, but what can you tell us about the feature and the track itself? Can you tell us anything?
That motherfucker, what's that motherfucker called? It's something about getting drunk. Get drunk, man. What's the name of the fucking song? Is it Get Drunk? Get Throwed, that's what it's called. It's called Get Throwed. It's an 816 Boys song, another 816 Boys song, and ooh, I did my part. You know, Callie wasn't there. I did my part, and I got home. Callie hit me later on that evening like, you killed it. And I'm like, I appreciate it, bro. Thanks, man. I was like, thanks for, you know what I'm saying, coming up with another 816 Boys song, man. I'm about to get throwed. I ain't even going to rap the shit to you, but the motherfucker is dope. It is dope. And, yeah, I did my thing on there, man. It's like, since I don't be around them guys a lot because they've been out of town from March all the way to July, and then they've been in Canada, and now they're in fucking London. We don't get to see each other as much because, you know, they're busy, and I'm doing my thing as well. And so to collaborate with them, I'd give it 150% every time. And so a lot of people loved my part on Abu Dhabi, and a lot of people loved my part on any other 816 Boys we got, man. Sex to the Beat shit. I know that ain't 816 Boys stuff, but I'm talking about, like, my solo verses that I've done when people ain't heard from me in a second. And I put the same energy into this one, dog, you know, and everybody killed it. Everybody did their thing. So when people hear it, I'm pretty sure they're going to have a lot to say about this song. It's a dope song. It's called Get Throwed. It's about getting fucked up, partying. And y'all know how we do. It's always a party. Abu Dhabi every day, all day, baby. Holla.
Can you try to explain the dynamic of the 816 Boys to me? Like, what is it that makes people love y'all so much?
I think what it is that we can just be, you know, we're already ourselves in our music, but the 816 Boys allows us to be not so serious and be more of our funny sides, man. Like, anybody who's seen any of the DVDs, you know what I'm saying, the KOD DVD and the Strictly Strange DVD, they get to see that silly side of everybody, you know what I'm saying? More people, we got a lot of serious shit going on, you know what I'm saying, in our albums or whatever and whatnot, and more heartfelt and personal songs, but people get to get a taste of the funny side. Like, I'm a damn fool. I was a school class clown. I'm a silly dude for real. You know what I'm saying? I act stupid. I like to dance and make jokes, crack on people and this and that. And we all got that type of energy with each other. So the 816 Boys, the dynamic of that is Calico's a silly acting ass dude. Tech is a damn fool. And I'm a fucking clown, and Maxilla's a damn clown, which I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all know when he does the Strange Music Live shit. You know what I'm saying? He's a damn fool. So just think, the four of us together, man, it's like four comedians up there. Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Kevin Hart, and Mike Epps. Everybody's up there acting a damn fool. But hold on, look, Calico's more of a Chris Rock. He's a political, funny, older type of guy. You know what I'm saying? But Calico, yeah, we all have some damn clowns. And it just allows us to have fun, man. And I think that's what makes the dynamic up of us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we don't got to be so fucking serious. We can make a funny-ass song making fun of simple rap, and it turned out to be a fucking hit. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the 816 Boys is all about.
That's what's up. I've actually just listened to the song today, and in the last line, you call yourself Ron Burgundy the Anchorman. Now, you also used some Anchorman clips in the Flames mixtape. I wanted to ask, if you were an Anchorman, what would your sign-off line be?
My sign-off would be... Let me think about it. Just a sec. Give me like 10 seconds. What would my sign-off line be? I think it would be something that Will Ferrell has said. You know what I'm saying? This is Cut Calhoun signing off, world. I'm sort of a big deal. I don't know. It would probably be something like, I'm sort of a big deal, or... I don't know. Maybe something explicit like... This is Cut Calhoun signing off. And if you don't like me, you can suck my dick from the back. I think it'll be, you can suck my dick from the back. If you ain't ever had that done before, that motherfucker feel good. You lay on your stomach and have a bitch pull you. See, I don't want to get too explicit. That's that 816 boy shit coming out of me, yo. Fellas, get your dick sucked from the back if you haven't had it done yet. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, so with that, I think we'll get to some more callers. Right now, we've got Britton from Washington.
Hey, man, this is Brayton, actually. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that, homie.
What's up, man? You ever had your dick sucked from the back?
I have not. I have had the road head.
What's up with you, Brayton, man? What's the quest?
Not much. Just sitting here doing laundry, you know, listening to the show. Actually, my question is, I want to know what your favorite moment touring is.
My favorite moment of touring?
Yeah.
When I get on the stage, that's my favorite moment, because I would say meet and greet, getting able to kick it with the fans and shit, but you know what? I, like, am the only one that goes out and fucks with the fans at the merch booth or at the bar and takes shots with the fans and shit. I do all that shit anyway, like before the show and after the show. I'll be out there in the crowd, shirt off or whatever, and drinking with everybody and taking pictures and shit. So I would say the meet and greet is the favorite part, but meet and greet, man, you kind of feel like a fish in a bowl, because I know some of the fans are kind of nervous and they don't know how to approach you and shit, even though I'm like one of the biggest guys in the clique. They just look at you. And you feel stupid. They're looking at you and you're looking at them, and they're scared to just come up to you and say something. So the meet and greet part is cool. I have more fun, you know what I'm saying, fucking with everybody before and after the show while the venue doors are open. But I would say going on the stage, man, you know what I'm saying, because I get up there and I'm doing what I love. And then not only that, the people giving me love for doing what I love, because they love it too. So I would say the most favorite part of touring is actually getting on that stage at the end of the night.
Awesome. Hey, man, you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, man. You too.
Take care, man. All right, now we've got Rudy from Tucson.
What's up?
What's up, Rudy?
What up, Ready Cuddy Carol?
Man, chilling here talking to you. Dog, what's the deal?
Nothing, man. Just want to know what's up, man. You haven't been in Tucson in a while. I missed you on that hospital takeover tour.
Okay, now we had a guy named Brennan that was in Phoenix, and I'm going to be there on November the 30th. Guess where I'm going to be at December the 1st?
Man, tell me you're coming to Tucson, man.
Be in Tucson December the 1st, dog.
Hell yeah, see, woo, that's right.
Woo,
yeah. You know I'm going to be there.
Brody, I'm going to be there. So make sure you get you them tickets, man. I'm going to be there December the 1st in Tucson, brother. Make sure you get your tickets, because it's going to be another motherfucking party, man.
Hey, hell yeah.
stuck from the back. We sticking our dick in the mashed potatoes. We having a party drinking KCTs, Caribou Lou's, throwing up on everything. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. We missed you on that tour, man. You know, you didn't lose no fans here.
I know that's right, man, and I appreciate it. So November the 30th, I'll be in Phoenix, and December the 1st, I will be in Tucson, y'all.
Oh, man, I'm going to go snatch up these tickets right now.
Do it!
Yeah.
Nice talking
Keeping
to you, Rudy.
Strange.
Yes,
yeah.
sir. All right, man.
We'll be there.
All right.
All right. All right.
Do it. Do it.
All right, we've only got time for one more caller left, so right now we've got Kyle from Ohio.
Kyle, do it. Just do it. What do you got to say? Do it.
What's up, Cody?
Do it. What's up with you, Kyle?
Shit, man. Hey, I was actually wondering, why did I see you at the Gathering of the Juggalos this past year?
You didn't see me at the Gathering of the Juggalos. First of all, I was supposed to have a show out there, my solo show, on the big stage, but then something happened to where I think some of the people found out I was coming that's running the whole spot, and they was like, okay, Tech Nim is going to be coming too. So I think they bowed out on paying me my my show cost or whatever, because I guess they figured out that Tech and Cali was coming or whatever. So I thought that they think that they would have saved some money. So I didn't even know Tech Nim was going also, so where that part got canceled out to where I was coming on my solo, and then technically went anyway. So that's why you didn't see me there, man. But I was supposed to be coming there before I even knew that Tech and Calico and Stranger was going to be coming there. I was going to be having my own set to do there. So that's why you didn't see me. You didn't see me because anything bad happened, but you see me because I was supposed to get paid some money, and then I was about to get paid some money, and then I think word got around that Strange is supposed to be coming to it anyway, so they figured, no, we'll save some money and just watch all three of them. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And to everybody out there, I got a show coming there, and you figure, like, okay, well, Technia might be coming here, and I just see all three of them. Fuck that. If you want to see my personal show, if you a fucking Cut Calhoun fan, it don't matter if I'm there with Tech or not. When I come there, these people are going to come and see me and come fuck with me. And everybody who's waiting to see me with Tech and Calico, that's great. But if you also don't want to come support me on my own when I come out there, you can suck my dick from the back.
Right. I mean, I personally, I love Tech N9ne and Chris Calico, but I mean, I'd much rather see you alone.
No, it's all good. See me alone and catch me whenever I come back with Tech and Cali, too. You know what I'm saying? That's the three-headed monster right there. That's the trio. That's the dynasty. But I'll be there on my own. Come fuck with me and show your support, man. If you don't come out and fuck with me and show your support, I'm not even going to be mad, man. I'm just going to bend over, stick my dick through the back, and
Okay. Yeah, well, I got one more question for you, man. What's the chance of you doing a collaborator with, like, Twisted or, like, Boondocks or something? Because I know Boondocks was psychopathic, so, I mean, what are the chances with that?
I'd love to do some shit with Twistics, man. Them motherfuckers is dope. Or Boondocks, man. I did some shit with Blazer, that homie, quite a few years ago or whatever, but, man, it's all a phone call away. You know what I'm saying? I'm down to do some shit with anybody on Psychopathic, man. You know what I'm saying? Them guys gave us a large fan base back in the day with the Willy Wonka tour, so, you know what I'm saying? I'm cool with all of those guys, man. Hell, I'll do some shit with Shaggy and Violent J, you know what I'm saying? Give me a call. Call Cuddy or hit them up, y'all, on their Twitters or on they Gmails or whatever you got, and tell them, do a song with Cut Calhoun, man. I bet you it'd be dope.
No shit, man. All right, I'm sorry. One more question, boss. What about the Cincinnati tour? You coming to Cincinnati soon?
Cincinnati. I won't be coming to Cincinnati, Ohio, but I will be in Columbus, Ohio on the 25th. You know what I'm saying? I was supposed to be in Cleveland, but that got canceled due to the promoters not having their shit together. But I don't know how far away Cincinnati and Columbus is, but I will be in Columbus this Sunday.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for your time, Cody. I love you, man.
All right, brother. All right. I appreciate you. Yeah.
I mean, you have a good one, too.
You too. Do it.
All right, so that's it for our caller section. If you just joined us, we're still talking to Cut Calhoun about Gift of Rap and more. I'm going to get to a few more questions here. 2013 is shaping up to be a huge year for Strange Music. What kinds of things are you looking to accomplish that you haven't yet?
What am I looking to accomplish in 2013 that I haven't accomplished yet? World domination. You know what I'm saying? I wanna conquer the world, Pinky. You know what I'm saying? For real though, definitely. I wanna dominate my lane of music, my genre of music. I want to dominate, man. Everybody who is a fan of me, I love it. It's great. And I want to get and reach out to even more, because I feel like the music is so much more relevant and so much more it's more of a gift, like the gift of rap show that we're about to do. The music is more like a gift to give back to these fans, man, or give out to the people that haven't been receiving this, man. So I want to reach more of a mass audience along with the people who already fucked with me. I need people to tell people to tell people to tell people that Black Gold is coming out February 26, 2013, and it's Cut Calhoun, and it's going to be his best work that he's done up to date. Kelvin was dope, and this is going to be even better, man. So I just want to dominate, man. I want to let people know. I mean, it's like people can hear my shit on YouTube. People can download some shit, this and this and that. I'm not even mad at the people who don't buy it. But you know what? Download it if that's the case. If you want to download it, ain't nobody going to be able to stop nobody from downloading it. Download it and tell somebody else and have them tell somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate everybody who fucking viewed the Strange Money. You know what I'm saying? That's the Strange Music Anthem right now. Snap back with that Strange Money. Everybody know that was a dope video. I loved the video, and everybody loved it, man. One of the dopest videos that we put out to date, you know what I'm saying? And so keep on showing your support and keep on showing the love. And in 2013, when Black Gold drops, you're going to understand why I chose Black Gold, because it's going to be one of the most hottest things wanted out here. Cut Calhoun is one of the most wanted natural resources that's going to be in 2013, baby. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not honking my horn. I'm just saying the music will speak for itself. Everybody over here at Strange puts their heart and soul into all of our music. And so I can only speak for myself. My heart and my soul and my spirit, I put it into my music, and I'm giving it to you fans, man. And just I just ask that you appreciate it. Spread the word. Show some love, and I'm going to keep giving you what you want. So 2013, domination.
Now, do you think this is the most exciting time to be a Cut Calhoun fan?
This is the most exciting time, you know what I'm saying? And to everybody listening, I might be doing one more video off of Kelvin, you know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking it's going to be There He Go, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think this is a great time to be a Cut Calhoun fan, man. And with the way that we got these nice videos, these high-quality videos, these dope-ass videos going on, it's even better, because that's going to make people... It's going to make people do their research, like, okay, this shit is dope. I'm just now hearing about this dude. How much more shit he got? Then they're going to go back and look at Raw and Uncut. You know what I'm saying? Then they're going to go back and look at Kelvin. Then they're going to go back and look at Feature Presentation. Then they're going to go back and look at Redhead Stepchild. Then they're going to go back and look at Flames and Blevy and so on and so forth, man. So, yeah, this is the best time to be a Cut Calhoun fan, because for the people who didn't know, I'm at my best right now, and it's only going to get better. So, yeah, man, tell everybody to tell somebody to tell somebody. Show your support, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I love all you motherfuckers.
All right. Do you have any last words for the fans? I know you got some shows coming up. Where can people get at you? What do you have coming up?
All right. People can get at me on Twitter. As you know, I interact with all my fans. I respond back to everybody if I can. You know what I'm saying? I retweet comments. I send out happy birthday shout-outs. You know what I'm saying? You can get with me on Twitter, /CutCalhoun. That's K-U-T-T-C-A-L-H-O-U-N. That's the same backslash for Facebook. That's the same backslash for Facebook. And on Instagram, there's this corny guy, this corny white dude. He's probably, I don't know if he's listening or what. He probably just wants some recognition, but his name is Cut Calhoun, and it's spelled the same way as mine. So, with that being said, when I went to make my Instagram, yeah, there you go. His name is, I ain't even going to give him no props on his name. Corny dude. So, with that being said, when I went to make my Instagram, like, this name is already chosen. I'm like, who the fuck got my name? So, mine is Cut _ Calhoun, K-U-T-T. _Calhoun on Instagram. And you can go on cut.com, you know what I'm saying, the blogs or whatever, YouTube, Google me or whatever you want to do. That's how you can get in touch with me. Like I said, I interact with the fans, and yeah, you know what I'm saying, if I'm not in your town, I will be in your town sometime soon. Just look a brother up, man. Look a brother up.
That's dope. Well, Cut, I appreciate you coming by today.
Yes, sir.
We're all excited for Black Gold. Kelvin's still on heavy rotation.
Yeah.
We look forward to 2013. That's our show for today.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank Cut Calhoun for joining us, and of course all you for listening.
Let go!
Be sure to follow Cut on Twitter @CutCalhoun, and stay tuned to blog.cutcalhoun.com for all the latest information. Also, don't forget to visit StrangeVIP.com for tickets and VIP passes to Tech N9ne's Gift of Rap 2012 concert on December 7th at the Independence Event Center in Independence, Missouri. This is one you won't want to miss. Thanks again, and as always, keep it strange.
Suck our strange
music.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate it. All right, man.
All right, man.